B-Pod Studios.
I'm just saying, if you're a Thronesian or whatever,
it's going to be a tough morning for me.
If you're a Thrones person, which I am, and it seems like the vast majority of the world is.
35 million per week.
Good God, man. Good God.
35 million. Bob is not one of them.
I'm not going to ruin. Yeah. I'm not going to ruin anything other than to say Arya. Holy pots and pans.
All right.
But that's all about that.
All right.
Let's say. But so all that happened, right? But the Phillies, they lose 3-4 to the Rockies, and we're all really depressed about that. But there is a feel-good story amongst all of this. The feel-good story is Phil Gosselin. Did you see this?
Pretty cool.
Yeah. The 8-5 Phillies victory, the only victory they had in this series, was on Saturday night. It was the same game that Aaron Nola was settling in for himself. 9 Ks for Aaron Nola. Only walking one, by the way, in 5 2/3. They get him out of the game at 5 2/3. They let the bullpen take care of business from there on out. Hoskins was 3-5 in that game. Bryce Harper hit a 3-run home run in the 7th inning. But Phil Gosselin actually gave the Phillies the 4-3 lead with a 3-run double in the 4th inning. He came up to the plate with the bases loaded, obviously. And after the game, he gets interviewed by Greg Murphy. And in the interview, Phil Gosselin, the Westchester, Pennsylvania native, drops a high hopes. He goes, yeah, we all know that we all got high hopes here in Philadelphia.
Nice.
And he tried, just nonchalantly, not forced, just eases it in. The guy's 30 years old, drops the high hopes.
Malvern Prepper.
They go to Gabe Kapler after the game for Phil Gosselin and what he was able to do. It's going to be really impossible for me to almost not call him Ryan Gosselin every time. So they go up to him and they say, hey, you. They go up to Gabe Kapler. And Gabe, without even being prompted, I think, just said, yeah, Phil, you guys have your great story to write right now with the guy that's the local kid coming out playing the role of hero in this game with a big bases loaded double, but clearing him off. So then they go up to Phil Gosselin after the game and they grab Phil Gosselin. And he even says, as we all did here growing up in this area, when you step to the plate, what's the situation? You're a Philly. You're up at the plate. Bases loaded. And he goes, you know, I've been up to the plate many times with the bases loaded as a Philly, but it happened in my backyard when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, get me in the feels, Phil Gosselin. Get me in the feels, I say. And then, sure enough, he comes up with that bases-clearing double. Phillies get their only win of the series, 8-5. And fortunately, only about 17 Phillies blew out hamstrings over the weekend. So I think we're in good shape.
Get them out of Colorado and that weed-filled air. It's no good for hamstrings.
You know what? I was just in Colorado. My hammies feel a little tender.
A lot of the pitching staff went on a nice early morning hike yesterday.
Oh, did they?
Everybody but Eichhoff had appeared.
Yesterday?
Yeah. Maybe it was Saturday. Saturday
into Sunday?
Yeah, they did a nice ascent up a mountain.
Yeah, it was beautiful. You ever go hiking in Colorado?
It's tough.
Yeah. You ever go hiking in Colorado, Bob?
I never went hiking in Colorado. Phoenix, but not Colorado.
Phoenix.
Air is thin.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. It's weird when you're like walking up a slight incline on like a sidewalk and then you feel yourself going. It was terrible. It was pretty terrible. Jamie, make that a drop. Us breathing heavy. 610-632-0975. 610-632. We'll just play it for Trey and be like, hey, Trey.
This is what we did while you were gone.
While you were away, what was this about? And I'd be like, I'm going to go on vacation again. 610-632-0975. 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Bay Management Group, your premier property management company specializing in multifamily and single family rental properties. Visit baymgmtgroup.com. And you are listening 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour now brought to you by Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest's mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure. Live life, stay connected with Univest Bank. So it brings me back to Jared Dudley now. Back to the stories that don't make you feel so good. Here's my big issue, Bob. And here's Jared Dudley after the game. Now, we had him pushing Joel Embiid. We had him giving the elbow prior to that to, I believe it was Ben Simmons in the second quarter. So you would think that would be enough for the ejection, which it was. But the comments he made after the game, by the way, he's fined for what happened in the game, $25,000. But here's what worries me the most, and this is why, once again, I will state for the record, Jared Dudley is a rat bastard for this comment after the game.
That was a hard foul on Embiid. I thought he hit a little bit of the arm, the ball. I thought the follow through kind of hit him on the head and or him on his like neck area and fell down. And it was just something that's just been escalating for a while. Game, I think it was game two, the elbow falling down when it should have been a flagrant two. They didn't call a flagrant two. Then they're in the press conference laughing. And then I see it like that. And so how I thought it was just a good push, letting know we're not having it today. I got pushed, which is fine. And then if we get up, we go our both separate ways. Should have been a double tech, a double, if you want to do flagrant on both, and both teams said for them to eject not only Jimmy, but myself, it's ridiculous. This is no punches were thrown. No one said anything crazy out there. It was a good playoff. Foul on his part, push on my part, and then go our separate ways.
He went on to tell TNT on their broadcast that it was a play that he wished he would have fouled harder on. But the way he talks about him and Jimmy, we both shouldn't have been ejected. No, Jimmy Butler should not have been ejected on that play. You should have been for running into the play that you were not at all involved in. And also, by the way, not for nothing, never be a referee, Jared Dudley, because it was a clean foul. And he's saying that he hit his head. He's saying that Joel Embiid hit the head of Jared Allen on this.
No, yeah. Jared Allen's got to get in the gym because his weak-ass arms made it look like a foul when it wasn't.
You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. It's a good play by Joel Embiid. It's a good defensive play. And I'll be the first to admit. It
should have been the seventh block of the night.
It should have been. And I even said after game two, I believe it was, when Joel Embiid gave the little shove to Jared Dudley, or game one, the little shove to Jared Dudley, I was the first person to go, all right, if Joel Embiid's not our guy, we hate him.
There's no question.
We absolutely hate him. Jimmy Butler calling him out as a troll, Joel Embiid as a troll after the game. Nothing but 100% accurate.
I can't wait for the post he has post net series.
Mm-hmm.
You know it'll be something like Dudley's fried chicken. He'll find something Dudley related and Dudley, geotag him in it.
Dudley donuts?
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll tweet a picture of the YMCA and be like, Jared Dudley, go home. Maybe that'll be something like that.
And for the second time this series, he said, like, he's a nobody. You know, did you hear it?
Yeah.
He on the court after the game, he says, oh, he's a nobody. Okay, cool.
And then he plays it. They're playing it right.
They're playing it perfectly.
They're playing it
enough to get under the Nets' skin, which they've obviously done, and enough that they're we're not doing anything. Hands up in the air. Hey, go ahead, keep throwing punches. We're just going to keep beating you.
And the best part about it, 3-1. It's all you got to worry about.
Yeah.
Imagine if they lost.
Oh yeah,
it'd be full lines all morning. Blow this team up. They stink. Where was Ben Simmons?
I got to give a lot of credit to Ben here because he wasn't doing exactly the things that, he's not closing it out like he did in game three. I'll tell you, this guy, he was drawing so much attention. And was there a better J.J. Redick 3 than the 3 that he hit in the fourth quarter?
I was just going to bring that up.
Okay.
I was just going to bring that play up because Ben Simmons drives to the basket, misses a layup, which is driving me crazy, his finishing, but gets the offensive rebound and kicks it out. Gets the offensive rebound, mm-hmm. kicks it out to J.J. Redick for under a minute to go. You're down two, and Redick hits a huge three.
Well, Bob, I mean, just J.J. Redick, when he shoots, he's off balance, right? No matter what. He's always running the figure eights, and he always, no matter what. This particular time, God forbid J.J. Redick ever get 2 feet planted on the floor.
Okay, yeah.
This one, wide open with the kick out. Leg slips.
Yep, his back leg slips.
He has to gather himself, shoots the three, and then you know what he does? He lets the follow through just hang out up there just a little bit longer than he should. Just as a little exclamation point on that three. He held the pose, and I don't mind even a little bit because I love watching him when he does that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a huge shot. It was a great play by Simmons. That's another key play that kind of goes unnoticed. The Embiid pass to Mike Scott. Not that it went unnoticed, but just the presence of mind that they both had. You got Embiid losing the ball. He kicks it out to Mike Scott when he regathers. And for Ben Simmons to get an offensive rebound on his own missed layup, you would think a guy's first reaction is, let me go back at the rim. But he didn't. Boom, Redick wide open three.
Joel Embiid here. Now, this was the conversation we had after game three as to whether or not you should play Joel Embiid if he's healthy, right? Do you bring him back? Joel Embiid, the max he played in this series so far was 24 minutes. He played 32 in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And he played the vast majority of the fourth quarter. I think he got a little break in there, but played the vast majority of the fourth quarter. 31 points, 16 rebounds, 7 assists, 6 blocks.
Should have been 7.
It's incredible.
You can make an argument for 8. I think he had a little tip down the other end late in the game as well. That didn't get called, or didn't get recorded. But he did have 5 turnovers in this one. But now you're in a situation where you're up 3-1. And he hasn't played back-to-back since 1-2, right, of this series. And now, look, there's still a day off in between. But do you play him Tuesday night? Do you play him tomorrow night?
Yes.
Jamie, you putting him back out there?
Yeah, because as we've seen, Russ does him no good.
But here's the thing.
I just put him on like a 24-minute restriction.
Okay. All right, so he even said, and this is the part that kind of changed my mind a little bit, he was like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. One of those situations. If you play, if you don't, either way, you can catch some bad wishes, I guess. You could injure yourself further.
Yeah.
You don't help the injury. You can still work him out. You can still maybe a minute restriction, Jamie, like you said. Now, I have no doubt in my mind that going into this game, they had a minute restriction idea, but they needed him down the stretch, especially with Jimmy Butler being out, which is why he played over 30 minutes as compared to 24 in game one, which was a close game down the stretch. Game two, you didn't need him as much, so you only played him 21 minutes. Whatever, 3-minute difference, it is what it is. But this particular game, you need him again later in the series to go up 3-1. He plays 32. Do you give him that minute restriction again going into game 5 of this series, trying to close it out tomorrow night?
Yeah.
You have Sunday off. You have Monday off. Now you're back at it Tuesday. Is it too much time off for Joel Embiid now? Get him back into the swing of things, they say. What are you thinking? Get him in.
He's really good. That's what I'm thinking. And I want him on the court in whatever capacity I can get him.
On a need-to-play basis?
Yeah. I just think you play him in the first half, you get a sense of the game, and kind of take it, just tread lightly.
All right. Coming up.
Don't burn him out before Toronto. If you don't need him in the second half, then don't play him in the second half. Mm. And if Ben Simmons is, taking over, or Jimmy Butler is taking over, then, hey, Joel, take your time on the bench.
All right, there's going to be 2 things we're going to get into in the next segment here that are of concern. One is, again, something I meet with an eye roll, and that's the Donovan McNabb in Philadelphia, and whether or not there's ever been a greater disconnect between an athlete and a city and his fan base like Donovan McNabb and Philadelphia. We'll get into that, and then we'll also get into what could also be worrisome with Joel Embiid. And that's the weight he is putting on those knees.
Mm.
And Landry Shamet peeled back the curtain more so than he ever has.
Snitches get stitches.
And I hope we see you in the finals, Clippers. I don't know about that one. But we'll get into that more as the show goes on.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
On time at the Fanatic is 7:12.
I don't know. First of all, we knew it was coming. So.
Yeah, we definitely thought it was coming. I don't be paying attention to him too much. I just don't think you should run up on anybody like that. And not to say...
Especially because the foul was actually all ball.
Wasn't a flagrant, for sure. We got a dub. That's all I'm worried about. So that's it.
That is all that matters is, yes, they got the W. And it was good times had by all in Philadelphia. It's a great win by the Sixers. They closed it out without their closer. That's always a good thing. Not only without their closer, but without their veteran. And the younger guys on this squad, the more inexperienced guys on this squad, stepped up. And how about this? This is something we don't give enough credit to for Mike Scott, the 3 general manager, knocking down that 3 right there. This guy's got...
That was Prison Mike that came out on that 3 ball.
No, Prison Mike is reserved for
Scuffles.
Scuffles, exactly. But, the 3 regional manager stepped up and knocked that one down. But the other part of it is that Mike Scott has played in, 45 playoff games in his career?
Yeah, he's got them under his belt.
Yeah, he's got the experience.
It's big.
Ice water in his veins, folks. Pumping through those veins. Now, what's pumping through Joel Embiid's veins? Milkshakes, evidently. If you cut him, he bleeds the milkshakes, okay?
That's not good.
This has come out a couple of times, actually, And I remember talking to Landry Shamet about this just before his rookie year even started. And I got a chance to interview him one-on-one. And he talked about the Chick-fil-A orders.
Mm-hmm.
And did he not put out a receipt at one point? It was like
has been a story before. Yeah.
It was like $250 to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, it was how much he was spending on each Chick-fil-A run prior to flights.
Yes. So apparently there's the one order. But I'll let Landry Shamet tell the story because he was on, what, Fox Sports 1?
Yeah, Kristen Leahy.
He was on with Kristen Leahy, and they're doing a one-on-one interview. And Landry Shamet has made a name for himself in Los Angeles, doing himself a fine job. And here's – do we have the question here? Like, she asked him basically about – rookie hazing, and I hate using the word hazing
because
it gets a bad connotation.
Yeah, her question's involved.
But this is basically about being the rookie in the NBA and what it's like, what it's been like for him thus far.
What were some of the things you had to do with the Sixers?
Biggest thing was just like Chick-fil-A for flights, which is the same here.
You still have to go
do
that?
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of across the board. I feel like a lot of teams do that, but I would go get Chick-fil-A before the plane, before any road trip. And then bring it on the plane. That was kind of your main task. And then obviously whatever is needed of you, like JJ would shoot me a text or something in the hotel or whenever.
Asking for what?
Just little random stuff. Like it could just be as simple as like a cup of coffee or whatever.
JJ would be in the hotel. And listen, I know you guys stay in like the Four Seasons. And he's asking you to go get him a cup of coffee.
I mean, just an example. Like I can't remember everything off top. But it would be, you know, like you have little tedious things you'd have to do like for, you know, for your best.
How much Chick-fil-A can Joel Embiid eat?
Man, I think, so his order. So I got Chick-fil-A for the whole flight. And then Joel had his own, like, separate order. So his was, like, four sandwiches and I want to say a couple fries and, like, four cookies and cream milkshakes. It was, like, kind of absurd. I'm like, Joe.
And he ate that on the plane?
It was crazy, yeah.
Oh, that would make me sick.
I know. I don't know how he does it.
No, look, he's a true seven-footer, like 7'2". Joel Embiid.
Four sandwiches, I didn't even blink an eye.
No, because I eat two.
Yeah, I'm just I mean, I want to eat four every time.
If I stood on my own shoulders, I still wouldn't be the size of Joel Embiid. But, like, think about it like this. The milkshake. Have you ever had a milkshake in your life?
Yeah, they knock you out.
Yeah. I need a nap. Yeah. Like, I go into a coma after I have one milkshake. Like, we go to In-N-Out Burger, right? We go to In-N-Out Burger, and there's no way I'm not getting a vanilla milkshake with my double-double animal style and my animal style fries.
Absolutely.
Like, no way that's not happening. I have that one milkshake, and I'm just like,
okay, where are my sweatpants?
And it's a small. I'm having a small milkshake. You think he's getting small cookies and cream milkshakes, Bob?
No. If they have extra larges, he's getting that. It's look, we're not going to play milkshake cake today because it's not the time or whatever, but you're right, Mark.
Milkshake cake.
I mean, he's overweight, so when you put the two together.
And what I wanted to tell you, Mark, was what Jamie said in the earlier at the 5 o'clock hour. He saw highlights of Embiid against Boston in the playoffs last year.
Uh-huh.
He said he's noticeably heavier now.
Really?
Yeah, he was more muscular in the clip I was watching last night.
And now he's kind of husky.
A little thick,
now he's
a little
like Jared Dudley.
He's a little thick in the
But the thing that's concerning is, you know, going back to when I was covering the team, you know, I was told they would supply him food, like go into his refrigerator and supply him food, health food for the week. That's how concerned they were about his diet. You know, I know he got thrown off a road trip one time because of his diet, because he wasn't following orders, different things, his work ethic, whatever it may be.
Was this while he was playing or is this while he was injured? And
that was why he was injured.
Okay.
But now you have monitors on these guys when they're in practice. They take it out of their practice jerseys when they're done to see how many steps they've taken. They have monitors on them to monitor their sleep, make sure they're getting enough rest and all. And he's walking onto a team plane in front, past the coaches who will sit there in the front, and he's downing four milkshakes?
Evidently.
What's going on?
Well, at what point does Landry Shamet not have to carry everything? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
when does the distribution happen?
He might just pull up with his car to the tarmac and have somebody unload the order.
No, but how does it work, Bob? Do they meet at the airport? Do they meet at the practice facility?
No, because the players will take their cars to the airport.
To the airport.
So, yeah, they all meet there.
So Landry's getting out of the car.
with a tray of nuggets and a couple bags of sandwiches.
I guess the other rookies have to come and help him carry it.
Okay. Probably.
All right. So, you know, I got some family members that are big boys, right?
Yeah.
All right. They got ankle issues. They got knee issues. Right? This is Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
This is a guy with, what, $138 million on his contract right now?
Yeah.
And we're hoping to get at least 5 years out of this guy? And he might have a degenerative knee issue. We don't even know. And we're talking about this guy putting even more weight on that knee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Four milkshakes, cookies and cream.
Yeah, he's got to chill out there, bro.
I feel like a health nut just having vanilla. Like, I feel like I'm having a kale smoothie compared to cookies and cream.
I do respect the cookie and cream order. I mean, it's pretty strong.
I mean, how could you not? As long as the straw doesn't get jammed, then we have problems.
Look, I'm not 7'2 and 300 pounds, although I'm on my way there.
Okay.
I can't imagine having...
Okay, you're not 7'2". Yeah, I'll give you
that. Getting heights in your shoes?
I can't imagine having four milkshakes.
Okay, remember Michael Phelps a couple of years ago? They did the big thing on like his daily calorie intake.
Well, he was probably really stoned.
I was going to say in shape and in the pool for hours at a time, Jamie.
That too.
Let's not talk about Colorado again. So anyway, he goes out there and he's got all these calories he's got to burn, that Michael Phelps fella. And they're like, oh, look at this. It's like four pizzas. This, that, and the other.
Yeah.
That's not Joel Embiid. Basketball does not equate to being in a swimming pool all day.
Not when you're off like basically the last 2 months of the season.
No, yeah. Right. And they're managing your load management. Right.
But
they're
that
managing
being your said, load. He still put up the numbers he put up.
No, okay, so yeah, that's
so it's like what?
So he's fat. He's got a bad knee, and he can go 32 minutes and put up those numbers. So is what you're saying?
Exactly. So when I have these arguments with myself,
I'm like, I have the same arguments,
and I'm like, well, why am I bringing this up? Because the numbers are right there. 32 minutes. The guy missed a game. He's back. But a boop. But a beep.
It's almost from quadruple double.
Exactly. But that's not the point. The point is having this over 5 years.
I know.
The point is hopefully having this for 10 years.
It's not load management, it's career management.
Exactly. That's why all this is worth bringing up. That's why all this is worth highlighting. If he's going to have issues eating like this, good God, man.
Yeah.
And he's not playing and he's less active.
I have a news flash for Joel, too. Once you get past like age 27, 28.
Oh, don't you do it.
Your metabolism goes bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Pitiful.
Bye-bye.
Once you get to be my age, Joel Embiid.
You get real fat.
Once you get to be my age,
Jamie's waiting for him to say something, Adam. He's giving me eyes, but I'm not, Jamie. I'm not going to fat shame you.
There's no fat shaming.
That's nice.
No.
You're a big man, bub.
You're not 7'2".
I will milkshake shame. I'll milkshake shame the hell out of you. Say that 10 times fast for you. But so they're monitoring all this,
yeah.
Right? And but is there any concerning thing within the organization when they see this guy housing stuff like that?
Hell yeah, there should be. But why aren't they saying... Now, look, we're all going off of Landry Shamet casually saying, four shakes and four burgers. Or not burgers, whatever. I would be shocked if nobody on that plane, if they saw it, would have said something. I know that their strength and conditioning coaches would say something about that. But at the same time, Jamie, how many times have we seen, Mark, you've seen it too, him lying on a table, on a trainer's table, eating a burger before a game?
Just eating my cheeseburger. Well, I remember the cheeseburger.
Stuff like that.
The cheeseburger and then the grapes. And I was like, well, grapes are a fruit. And I'm like, but they're high in sugar. And I'm like, but they're still delicious grapes.
Yeah. Ever have cotton candy grapes?
What?
The grapes that taste like cotton candy?
No.
If you ever see them, get them.
Wait, hold on a second. Time out. They're the grapes that exist in the world, that are from the earth.
Yes. That taste like cotton candy. And they're literally called cotton candy grapes. Get them.
If my wife is in the room, she'd be like, can you make wine from these grapes? Can you make cotton candy wine from these grapes? That would be a bit of an issue. But look, it's not about right now with Joel Embiid. It's about how long we get to enjoy the phenomenal athlete that is Joel Embiid right now.
I wonder, watching him and through these years, Brett Brown always talks about career best fitness. It's a phrase that every player that has come through Brett Brown, they get sick and tired of, but he wants everybody in career best fitness. I wonder if Joel Embiid has ever even come close to that.
His actual peak of fitness?
Yeah. I wonder if he's actually come close to, like, Brett Brown always gives grades. Oh, his body's a C right now. I wonder if Joel Embiid, in Brett's mind, has ever sustained an A-level body type.
If there was ever the time he would have had it, it would have been last year prior to the Fultz face injury, right?
Probably. Probably, yeah.
Right? Like, that would be the time he played the most.
Yeah.
I mean, looking back at the highlights last year, you guys should pull one up during the break in the Celtics series. He looks noticeably more toned.
Marvel at the views of Joel Embiid from last year.
He looks a little more muscular.
All right. I'll do that.
He's had a lot of inactivity, and if he's doubling down with the milkshakes, it's, you know, relax, big fella.
For the sake of research, I will go back. If I'm willing to watch the Robert Kraft video of the Boston Dangler, I feel more than secure to go back and look at Joel Embiid and check out his muscular build from last year compared to your alleged pudgy self from this year.
He's overweight.
I'm a bastion of accuracy.
Yeah.
I flourish in accuracy. That's all I can say about it. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. So here's the other part of this. One of the other big stories coming into today. And I'm really dumbfounded by this. And our Twitter poll of the day, brought to you by Window Nation, is basically, what was your reaction to the Donovan McNabb story of him talking about Carson Wentz? And saying that if basically over the next couple of years, if he doesn't make it out of the first or second round of the playoffs, then here it is. Here's the quote. If Wentz can't get out of the second round in the next 2 years, then they should start to look to draft another quarterback of the future. Because it's mostly about Carson's durability. It's not exactly a piping hot take, but when it comes from a quarterback here that is known to have a little sensitivity issue, some people will jump all over it and they'll have issues there. So when it comes to this situation with Donovan, I meet it with an eye roll. And the two options we have in the question are, what's your reaction to Donovan McNabb's comments about Carson Wentz? Is it anger or is it an eye roll? For me, it's an eye roll. We went around the horn here with Jamie and Bob. It's met with an eye roll.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, I can't think of another athlete and fan base, even outside Philadelphia, that had a greater disconnect between, you know, in this case, Donovan and Philadelphia. I can't think of another athlete that played well in a particular city, that played 11 seasons in a particular city, went to 5 conference championship games, won Super Bowl, was the all-time leader as a starting quarterback for a record for a starting quarterback, the all-time leader in passing yards, passing touchdowns, interception ratio with quarterbacks that threw at least 1,500 attempts. I can't think of anybody that had a greater disconnect with their fan base.
The only name that came to my mind when you said it earlier was Mike Schmidt.
That's one that came to mind, yeah.
Yeah, and he did a lot to smooth that over the years after he played, and even towards the end of his career, he kind of got to the way of, yeah, I understand that these fans want people to play hard, and it doesn't look like I am an awful lot. But that was the only... I'm trying to think of some other polarizing figures in sports that may have turned themselves off to their home fan base, but I really can't think of any in the extremes of Donovan McNabb.
Look, I was...
Lindros's parents?
We'll see that. Now, on that note, and I mentioned this earlier, but I'll say it's worth repeating, what if Donovan was playing right now and Randall said that about him?
Oh, God.
All right, what would Donovan say to that?
He might turn into a puddle.
Better yet, what would Wilma McNabb say about it?
By the way, I just saw Donovan responded to Lane's tweet last night.
Yes, he did.
You saw that.
And so did...
I didn't see that.
So did Trey Thomas.
Well, that's how I saw it.
Okay. All right.
Because Trey just responded to McNabb.
So why don't you give us Lane Johnson's tweet? Why don't you walk us through social media, Jamie?
So the Lane Johnson tweet was 6 snake emojis.
Mm-hmm.
6.
Yes.
Not 5. He could have gone with 5.
No.
Number 5.
I see what you did there.
That's next level galaxy brain stuff. So dot, dot, dot. And you wonder why nobody respects you when you come back.
Ooh. All right. Now, one thing I'll say in defense.
That's cold-blooded.
One thing I'll say in defense of Donovan. I feel like everybody in Philadelphia respects Donovan. But I don't feel like everybody... I know everyone doesn't love him.
No.
Like, I feel like people love Randall forever.
Yes.
They love and respect Randall. But when it comes to Donovan, it's not that same thing.
He's put his foot in his mouth a couple times. In particular, when it comes to Carson Wentz.
Yeah, he's done it a couple of times, you're right.
Yeah. So our natural inclination, knowing him, is, oh, well, jealousy's setting in because he thinks Carson Wentz will bring a Super Bowl before he did.
Like, for instance, when they retired Donovan's number, right, and they had Brian Dawkins out there, which, by the way, we all know why Brian Dawkins was out there.
He was a bodyguard.
He was a bodyguard. He was to make sure, because no one's booing Brian Dawkins.
No.
Okay? So if he's introing McNabb, you know all is right with the world. And then McNabb went on this really weird rant and whatever. It was an awful speech, but whatever. So we got number 5, we'll always love you out of it, so we can all be better people. So that's good, I guess. I assume. But then the rest of it, through social media, Jamie, Donovan responds to that tweet from Lane Johnson, and what does he say?
12:07 last night, Donovan McNabb, deal with it. 4 laughing, crying emojis with a gif of some woman saying, winning.
Donovan.
Geez. He's not making this any better.
Donovan.
Just and, back away.
And then our boy Trey Thomas tweets.
All bleep. 5 responded. Boom. Take that, Lane Johnson. Crying, laughing emojis. And Trey and Lane are tight for the record. So this isn't him trolling Lane.
Right.
Man, I'm done. This green on green crime got me tweeting emojis. I'm out.
These are zero eggplant out of 0 eggplant emojis. Yeah. 0 eggplants out of 5 eggplant emojis.
Sounds like Trey saw this and went, oh, what the hell am I doing? I'm going golfing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, Trey. And look, I was going to reach out to Trey, but he's on vacation. And I don't want to bother him. But here's the deal. Trey, I was surprised that he went at Lane instead of Donovan.
But I think he's just busting balls.
He absolutely is.
He's poking the tiger in the cage again.
Because,
hoping he gets another response out of Lane.
But Trey, he's spoken bluntly about his time with 5. He's spoken bluntly about his time with Donovan. Like, very bluntly. Like, extremely bluntly.
Yeah.
Like, told us exactly on the air what's what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to me, I don't know if this is going to goat another response from Donovan. I don't know if it's going to get another response from Donovan McNabb. But nonetheless, I find myself greeting all comments from Donovan with an eye roll.
Yeah, so do I.
Because
with his comments, I more agree with than I don't. But I still eye rolled.
It makes you seem like you're rooting for his demise.
Yeah.
When you're the former quarterback here and you have something else to say about a young quarterback here and it's negative, it makes you come off as if you're rooting for the failure of Carson Wentz. That's how it comes off.
Yeah, it's every time he says something, you get that cringe face. Like, if the microphone's going to his mouth, Donovan McNabb's mouth, and you're an Eagles knower, You get this face mark where you're like, oh, here it comes.
Don't do it.
Here it comes.
Don't do it.
Here it comes. Oh, man, he did it again.
But why is it with Don? Why do we have that feeling? Because, look, I think it's 85% right now people have met that comment from Donovan about Wentz with an eye roll. It's around 85% of our
He's becoming
poll.
The boy who cried wolf, more or less.
I guess,
like,
if that makes sense.
You see him now and you're like, oh, yeah, the wolf, sure, kid.
I don't know if we... Yeah, you roll your eyes at the
kid.
Yeah,
like,
cried wolf.
Yeah, all right. Cool.
But why
this
is
kid's
it?
Here again.
Why is it that we do that with Donovan?
Because it was the air guitar, it was the throwing up, and the he just did think denying the throwing up when everybody else was like, oh, yeah, he did it.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's because
right there.
We know how he feels about us. Deep down, we know he doesn't like us.
Yeah, but who started it?
Us.
And if
us with the booing, you mean?
Fans. Yeah.
And it wasn't just the booing. It was from, I mean, really, there were multiple times throughout. There was that huge disconnect. It wasn't just being booed.
No, but that it compounded it.
Sure.
It's clear he's not over that.
No.
And that's sad. As a grown man, he should be able to move past that. He made a lot of money in his career to get past that. But it's clear it still bothers him, and he holds the fans accountable for it.
When I hover above myself and watch me, right,
yeah,
and try to be objective at this,
mm-hmm,
I'm like, you're nitpicking. Every time I talk about Donovan, I'm nitpicking. Like, you don't know how he really feels. You're only assuming based on his actions. And it's like, yeah, I just feel like he's a dork. Like,
he
I just
is.
Feel like in like a lovable way, not lovable, excuse me, but like,
In an annoying way,
he's the relative that was over your house yesterday for Easter or whatever holiday you celebrate, and you're just like, oh, God, shut. Just.
Yeah, like, he made 42 awful dad jokes throughout the course of the day. Like, probably didn't clean up or help clean up the table.
Right.
Like, he's kind of that guy.
Yeah. He's the guy you might go out to dinner with, and no matter what, he only tips $5.
Yeah.
That's his,
mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, God, you're embarrassing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, like, I agreed with mostly what he said, and I still found it annoying. So, like, you're on one side, I'm on the other, and it's like, he's still eye roll.
Coming from the former quarterback here, it makes you seem like you're rooting against our guy.
Yeah.
It's the sensitivity issue that I think gets us
lost.
All right, we'll get to Rob. We'll get to Ivan coming up in a few. You're listening to 975 The Fanatic. If you want to jump in, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Guess what? Over the weekend, Donovan McNabb wasn't the only former Eagles quarterback making some news. We'll let you know what that means.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Up in a few here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
I think culture is more important than scheme.
Did you see this? So
pretty straightforward, black and white.
They have. Back in Philly, though. You feel me?
The two have. No, they did an interview. I forget when this was. Around the combine time, maybe? Combine time?
Right.
Where they talked about Chip Kelly, and Mike Vick was like, yeah, I don't know what that guy was doing. But, you know, whatever, water under the bridge.
Right.
But then it comes out that yesterday they had an autograph signing a couple of days ago, and there was a sign on the window of the autograph signing, no Chip Kelly allowed, with a picture of Chip Kelly and a big red X through it. Now, I don't know if that was done by the store or if it was done by them. I doubt it was done by them. But nonetheless, their name linked to it in the story. Did you see this, Jamie?
I saw the article get sent out, but only because of you.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. I thought we were all cool now. I thought everybody was cool. I thought we were going to be like Fonzie.
I don't think Deshaun and LeSean will ever get over that.
I don't think so either.
Because they were told at primes of their career that they weren't good enough here. I wouldn't be over it.
But look, as far as Mike Vick goes, like, if you're a veteran and you have a
Vick's a little different, yeah.
Vick's a little different because he was a veteran. Nick Foles was younger. And a new coach came in and said, yeah, compete for your position. I don't have a fault in Chip Kelly for that. Vick clearly won the competition throughout training camp. And then, you know, he had some struggles, got injured. And Nick Foles came in and went 27-2, touchdowns, interception, and got him to the playoffs. Are you benching that? No, you're not benching that.
No.
Not happening.
No.
Even though, look, Vick was upset that he lost his job while he was injured, but yeah, guess what? That's sports. That's what happens. But Deshaun.
So is Wally Pipp.
Yeah. Wally Pipp would still be complaining.
R.I.P.
But Deshaun got paid. He left here and got paid.
Yeah, he got 3 years, $45 million at least, I think, from Tampa.
Does that wound open up all over again because of what happened two Super Bowls ago?
Oh, okay. Well, the fact that he should have been a part of that team?
Could have been. Could have been.
Could have been.
Let's get to Rob in Center City. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Rob?
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to touch a little bit on this weekend's game. This was probably one of my favorite wins. I felt like the whole game, it was just a total team win. And it was actually kind of refreshing to see Jimmy kind of come to Joel's side and then see Ben get in there and come to Jimmy's side. And, you know, I just like then Mike Scott playing a big role at the end and Boban coming in and on and off and playing. So I just thought it was an awesome team win and something where you can really say that, you know, the guys are kind of going to start rolling after this, not that they haven't been. Mm. And I don't know how you guys felt about that. But also, I just wanted to talk Tuesday. I mean, in my opinion, the goal at this point is to get out of this series as quick as possible. So would you guys agree that Joel's got to play at least, you know, again, 25, 30 minutes? You got to try to win this game? Or you think they're going to give him the night off and hope that they can win?
I think they are going to play him. I think Jamie's on point with the minute restriction idea, but I have no doubt the Sixers went into this game with the idea of having a minute restriction with Joel Embiid, having him available, but have the minute restriction. Now, by the way, Sixers opening up right now. I can't believe this. I'm looking at the right thing here. Yeah, game five here.
Yeah.
Sixers open up at 7.5-point favorites.
I saw 8 down to 7.5, but regardless, that's where it is
okay.
Now. Yeah.
Pots and pans.
That's a Sixers line.
Yeah, the Sixers line. I think they have Joel Embiid available. They try to close it out. If they need him, he plays more than those 24 minutes, whatever. If they don't, he'll play around 20.
All right, and let me just one more question, and then a real quick Eagles point. If the Eastern Conference ends up, you know, it looks like all those series are going to end pretty early, but the Spurs and Denver Nuggets series goes 7. Does the whole NBA wait to go to the next round, or how does that work?
No, they stagger it a little bit. Like, they'll try to play the catch-up game, you know, where it's not, where you don't go 3, 4, 5 days without a game. They'll start other series, but they'll stagger it pretty good.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's get to Ivan in Jenkintown. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ivan?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, bud.
I'm with McNabb on that.
I was one of the people who wanted to keep Foles here. Wentz will be 28 in 2 years. You know, with his injury history, everybody holds on to that, to the year that we won the Super Bowl, how good he did. My thing is, you know, we all can't hold on to that, because even as good as he did, Foles was the one that still held the Super Bowl up. But with his injury history, when he turns 28, I mean, they don't even know if they're going to give him an extension this year. They're probably going to do it next year. But what if he gets hurt next year?
Right.
Are you really going to put out, you know, 60 million, or excuse me, 100 and something million for a quarterback who's always getting hurt? I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I'm against Wentz or anything like that. I'm an Eagles fan first and foremost, but, you know, why not get an insurance policy and take a younger quarterback and, like, let's say, like, excuse me, the second or third round. You know, it's not, and I met Lane Johnson before. He seems like the nicest dude in the world, but I mean, he had no other choice than to say anything but to protect his quarterback.
You know, well, so, the other choice would be to not say anything, but I like the fact that he's a man of action. Lane's never the person to make a passive mistake. He always makes an aggressive mistake. He doesn't necessarily hold back, which is what I would call a passive mistake, but he always takes a side. He's never on the fence, and I love him for that.
No, I hear you. I just, you know, with the injury history, I just don't know if I'm comfortable enough to give somebody 100-something million. For his injury history.
I think a lot of people would be that cautious. Thanks for the call, Ivan.
Yeah, he says, you know, 2 years he's going to be 28. Well, that's okay, great.
You can still play another 4 years.
He's going to be
yeah.
So I don't know. It's Lane Johnson. You're right. He doesn't go half in on anything. No. I mean, he could have just said something to the effect of, "Hey, that's my quarterback."
Right.
You know, something like that. But he had to say, "That's why nobody respects you."
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
So look,
with snakes.
The snakes is really interesting. That really does fan the flame just a little bit. And by the way, coming up in a little bit, we're going to talk to Jason Stark from The Athletic about all the things that happened with the Phillies over the weekend. But right now, while they got us on the subject of Donovan McNabb, he is definitely someone that is raising eyebrows again locally because of the comments he made about the guy that is occupying the position that he once did for so long, 11 years in Philadelphia. But it always makes McNabb seem like he's rooting against the guy whenever he predicts something that would lead to the man's demise. That's the part where, yes, I agree. And I forget the caller that brought it up. But the guy who brought it up to us was almost, does it make us feel like we need homerism in Philly? It was Philly J that said it. Does it make us want to have former athletes in this city be more homers for us? And I think it applies in certain aspects. One, when it's a quarterback talking about another quarterback. The former talking about the current.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.